Also interested in social justice, of course, was Bob Dylan, especially in songs like The Times They Are a-Changin'. And it's one of the songs that the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band covers on their new album, Dirt Does Dylan. I had the chance to talk with the band's founder, Jeff Hanna. He's still, after all these years, in love with the music, in love with his fellow artists. And they invite a lot of them onto this album, as we'll hear as when we listen to The Times They Are a-Changin', some of Eminem's favorite artists. In one way, the album, therefore, is a lot like their album, Will the Circle Be Unbroken, that came out in the 70s, where they gathered other musicians to play with the band. In that case, they turned the spotlight on established country artists. This time, he turns the spotlight on others in the song. We'll hear people who have been very passionate about peace and social justice issues. And I started by asking Jeff, when you do that, are you trying to give these specific people a wider audience, or are you just thinking about the song and who would sound best?
I think in this case, for example, the times they're changing, it's an anthem. And the folks that lent their voices to that, Jason Isbell, Roseanne Cash, Steve Earle, the Warren Treaty, all bring a lot of gravitas with them, not only as musicians and artists, but as people. So there was a lot going on in that too. And I'm really grateful that they came to the studio and sang with us on it.
They're all very outspoken in their music and beyond. In choosing them, were you also paying tribute to their fearlessness?
Absolutely. That was certainly part of it, especially I think in the case of Steve and Jason and Roseanne for that matter. The Warren Treaty, I know them to be really great folks, but they haven't been in it as long.
Who are you picturing as your audience? Your generation, a younger generation?
I think in terms of target audience, that song is, it's so cross-generational. I mean, it meant a lot to you and I when it came out a long time ago. And it's always timely, but it's timeless as well. There always seems to be a place for it. One of the versions of that tune that I listened to that was really inspiring to me was something I found on YouTube with Brandi Carlile. It was when the kids took to the streets after the Parkland shooting that she felt like she wanted to lend her voice to that. And she did this beautiful, emotional recording of it with her and the twins, with Tim and Phil Ezra. That was really inspiring to me. But it always goes back to Dylan himself for me.
You mentioned the Parkland shooting. Are there other issues that come to mind for you when you sing that or hear that song?
When I first heard it, it was all about the civil rights movement. That was the resonance the song had back in 64 and 65. But as the world and our country, for that matter, has gone through so much upheaval, it always seems applicable.
You've talked about seeing Dylan in high school and this very vivid picture of him on stage all alone. You've always been part of a band. That idea of being by yourself in the spotlight doesn't appeal to you?
I've done a few things on stage solo, and I really miss the band when I do that. I love the collaboration process, whether it's live or in the studio, really suits me. At the time that I saw Dylan the first time, and it's funny because I have a picture of the poster a friend of mine sent me, December 5th, 1964. When I was a kid, I remember going to a couple of open mic nights with my little harmonica rack and my acoustic guitar, but I didn't like the experience of going on stage by myself.
You've described the experience of seeing him for the first time as transcendent. How much of that was the songs? How much his presence? Do you remember what you were experiencing?
He's always been, as you know, he's an enigma. He's a man of mystery. There wasn't a lot of chatter going on between songs. But, you know, in the world we live in now, the way we all sort of put ourselves out there, not just on stage or in the studio, but like what we're doing right now, as artists, we're required in a lot of ways to be more open. It's just part of the gig now. But that air of mystery was really an interesting part of the artist that I had admired back then. And Dylan is the textbook version of that. It's Marlene Dietrich of I Want to Be Alone. He was the coolest cat. And I think that that's why the Beatles, for example, were drawn to him, and the Birds for that matter. When I dove deep into folk music, first it was the more commercial stuff like Peter, Paul, and Mary and the Kingston Trio. but I got a little further into it. My heroes were folks that were all a generation or two older than me, like Mississippi John Hurt or Doc Watson, Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs, a lot of the blues guys, Sonny Terry and Brownie McGhee. But then here comes Dylan, and he's like my big brother's age. And yet he brought this profound body of work with it, incredible music.
You know, you mentioned these older generations who were your heroes, and then Dylan was like your big brother. And now you're featuring on the album some younger generations. What does it mean to you to have your son Jamie join the band?
Oh, well, I mean, it's incredible. It's so great. Let me just start with that. At the beginning of 2017, John McEwen had left our band, and we had this vacancy. Jamie and I always talked about doing something together. But at that point, we got Ross Holmes, who plays fiddle and mandolin for us now. He was like, what about Jamie? And I said, well, I got to have a talk with Jamie because I'm his dad. I'm going to make sure that this isn't going to in any way have an adverse effect on our family. So we had a family meeting, and Jamie said, look, why don't I just come out on the road with you guys for a short run, 3 or 4 days, see how it feels on the bus, see how it feels musically. And he did. And he got home and it was like, yeah, I want to do this. That happened in the spring of 2018, and we haven't looked back. It's been great. Ross and Jamie, I got to say, are so inspiring to be on stage with. They're both incredibly talented, and they have a really super positive attitude. That's contagious. That rubbed off on the rest of us.
I think of the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band as maybe having played topical music, but I don't think of you as political the way I think of Steve Earle and Roseanne Cash and Jason Isbell. I'm reminded of Jason's song, Be Afraid, about how there can be career consequences to speaking out. Has it ever been an issue for the band in your choice of songs?
Not typically, but Jason, and I hold him in the highest regard. He did. He lost some fans. We tend to stay, as a band, essentially apolitical, because there's plenty of places to go to help that don't involve which side of the aisle you fall on. We all fall on the same side of the aisle, which is not typically country music land. Country music, I think, is looked upon as conservative, generally, politically. We're not. But there's so much to divide us. It's so easy to go there. I got friends of both stripes, and it's a challenge sometimes, especially in the last few years. As you know, let's find something to argue about. Pretty easy. But there can come a time when you gotta speak up.
And as you say, there are things you can do that aren't blatantly political. I know the band raised funds for Feeding America. In fact, I think it was the proceeds from the Times They Are a Changin' that you donated.
It was for the Times They Are a Changin', absolutely. Feeding America is essentially a national food bank. And especially during COVID, there are so many folks that couldn't put food on the table. So we felt like we could help do our bit for that. I think that was a logical and a really good choice. That's a charity that my wife and I have contributed to for many, many years. Right now, inflation is through the roof and the cost of stuff is really high. And the essentials should be something we should all be able to afford.
Have you ever shared a stage with Bob Dylan?
Nope. Well, yes, kind of, sort of. In 1985, they had the first Farm Aid concert. And it was a big fundraiser at a stadium in Champaign, Illinois. And we were friends with Willie. And Willie asked us to come play the concert and to do a few tunes, and also to back up our friend John Denver, who was a fellow Coloradan. We all lived in Colorado back then. And on the show, in addition to the three musical cats that were on the Farm Aid board back then, which would have been Willie and John Mellencamp and Neil Young, they invited Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Bob Dylan. Gosh, I think Emmy was on that show as well. Van Halen. I mean, it was a crazy lineup. It was great. Super cool. A lot of country music artists, a lot of rock and roll artists. It was a great blending, which Willie's always done. He's always gotten people together, which I love. We were in this double wide trailer that we had for a dressing room, cheering up with John. And there's this knock on the door, and in comes Bob Dylan. And he wants to hang out with John for a while. So we just sort of retreated into the corner of the trailer and just listened really hard. It was hilarious. You know, they were talking about Dylan. I mean, you can't not do Dylan's voice. I'm sorry. And it was like, so what have you been up to? He said, well, you know, I was just, I was actually just touring in Russia. He says, I was in Moscow. And Dylan was like, yeah, you know, I was going to do a poetry thing in Leningrad. So it was like, I was over there doing a poetry thing. And I thought, perfect. But it was great. They really hit it off. And that's just one of those things where I'm looking at it and I'm going, well, here's Denver, who's kind of from the more commercial side of things. And then here's Dylan, who's like Dylan, who occupies his own category. But they had so much in common. It made me smile in the best kind of way. So he kind of waved at us on the way out. That was it. So were we on a stage together? I think we might have. There might have been. Willie tended to do Will the Circle Be Unbroken during set, and we usually have like a cast of thousands on stage. So we might have all been up there together for a moment. I met him a few years later, a few years later at an event that was around the Grammy Awards in Los Angeles. It was 1990. They were doing a tribute concert to Roy Orbison, who had passed away a few months prior. And Dylan was part of that. And my friend Al Cooper was there and said, hey, you want to come say hello to Bob? And I was like, yeah, of course I would. So we walked through this series of velvet ropes, and there's these tents, and it was very VIP section. And they'd lift one velvet rope, then check out who you were. Al grew up with Dylan, and he was in Bob's band. He was in the band that got booed at Newport Folk Fest. Dylan's just a pal of his. So he came in. We finally had our moment. Bob would like to say hello now. So we walked up to him, and Al introduced me, said something really kind about our band. We had just won a Grammy the night before for Will the Circle Be Unbroken Volume 2, which had You Ain't Going Nowhere on it. So I thought, there's my in. So I said, so nice to meet you. We won a Grammy last night, and the album that it's on, we got to record with Roger McGuinn and Chris Hillman, and we did You Ain't Going Nowhere. And he thought for a second, and he looked at me and was like, yeah, you sure did, didn't you? And then a big burly guy came over and said, okay, next. It was great. And I've thought about that ever since. And being Dylan, of course, everybody I know that's had one of those one sentence exchanges with Bob Dylan, it's that you're analyzing every syllable. He was smiling when he said it. I don't know.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam. You have grown and accepted that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a changing. Come writers and critics who prophesize with your pen. And there's no telling who that it's naming. For the losers
The Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, plus Roseanne Cash, Steve Earle, Jason Isbell, The War and Treaty on WMNF Tampa with The Times They Are a-Changin'.